So the reading we have for today is taken from Luke chapter 17, and it begins with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Thank you, Jesus. This was the cry of the healed leper when he came back and fell at Jesus' feet, the loud cry of the leper. And this should be our cry today too, because Jesus does so many good things for us in our life as well. He is our great physician, healing us of all sorts of ailments and providing for us every good thing we need in our life. Even more than this, Jesus tackles and handles for us the ailment we can do nothing to overcome, and that is our sin and sinfulness. You see, this ailment is something that we could do nothing about except that Jesus takes it on for himself. So we should say thank you, Jesus, not only for providing for us in our earthly lives, but our eternal life. And how did he do that? Well, God loved you and all the world, all people in the world so much that he came down from heaven himself in the person of Jesus Christ, and he lived a perfect life and took upon himself the sin of the whole world when he suffered and died on the cross. And that punishment applies to every single sin and every single person on earth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But he doesn't leave it there. He just doesn't pay for it and leave it sitting out there. No, God comes chasing after each and every one of us. He sends his Holy Spirit into your heart, into every person's heart, trying to convince them to relent of saving yourself. To say, "Okay, God, I understand. I can't save myself. I'll trust you to save me." You see, Jesus and the Holy Spirit come into every single person's heart and try to convince them to depend on that sacrifice that he made for all the sins of the whole world. Thank you, Jesus. So I could end my sermon there, actually. The main message you've already just gotten. And this is the main message of all of Scripture, the gospel, the good news that Jesus paid for everything, that Jesus' sacrifice covers all the sins of the whole world. But the Bible also does not stop there and says other things to us that are important. So I want to just look through this text a little bit with you today to see what else God might be saying to you and to me about our lives here on earth. If you want to take out your Bibles in the pew and follow along, it's on page 1627. This is where we have the scripture that we read today. And I'm also going to take you to chapter 18. Starting at verse 11, this is what it says. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So the first thing to note is that these are outcasts. The lepers are, according to the law, doing exactly what they should, and that is staying away from all these other people outside of the city and standing at a distance, even when they're trying to get Jesus' attention. You see, this was a horrible, debilitating disease and a contagious disease that they were required by law to be outcast, outside the city, staying away from people. In addition to this outcast for their physical condition, they were understood to have been punished by God because they were especially egregious sinners. So in addition to being outcast for their physical disease, they have this spiritual burden that all of society has placed on them. This was a very difficult existence. But notice what they say. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." As a matter of fact, this is the cry of God's people from Old Testament times to New Testament times to even today, that people who trusted God would make this cry, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." The Greek for this is Kyrie eleison. You've heard that before, right? This is a very famous phrase in Greek. As a matter of fact, it's been so famous that we've had songs from Old Testament times to New Testament times all the way to the present day. In a traditional service, we sing the Kyrie. And what do we sing? "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." It even made it into popular music culture when Mr. Mister in 1985 put a song together. What was it called? Kyrie eleison. You guys remember it? "Kyrie eleison down the road that I must travel. Kyrie eleison through that highway in the night. Kyrie eleison through the darkness of the night." I can't remember it. But that's what it was. It's like Kyrie eleison, like 25 times. Very cool to make that into common culture even. "Lord, have mercy." And what does this mean? This means that the lepers knew who Jesus was. They're associating Jesus with God, because that was the cry to God, "Lord, have mercy." So they're identifying who Jesus is, and this is not an anomaly. This is not the only time that he is called Lord. As a matter of fact, if you just page forward to chapter 18, you'll see another instance in which Jesus is confronted with someone who needs healing. Okay, so chapter 18, starting at verse 35. Okay, chapter 18, starting at verse 35. "And as Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was meant. They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' And he cried out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Identifying him as God, as the Son of David, the Messiah. So this is a very important aspect of this story, and that is that we can identify for sure who Jesus is: God, the Son of David, the Messiah. And that he is seeking the outcast. So what does Jesus say then, going back to chapter 17, starting at verse 14? This is what he says to them. "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan." So Jesus heals all 10 of them. And from my perspective, this gives us another important message from Jesus, and that is he is inclined to heal. He is inclined to show mercy to all people. 10 is the number of perfection, and he heals all 10. This is his desire. And secondly, you see another thing. The only leper that comes back is the Samaritan, the foreigner, emphasizing the point again that Jesus wants to reach out to all people, and especially those who are outcast. And what happens next? Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Again, emphasizing his desire to reach out to all people, especially the outcast. And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So you see here, even Jesus emphasizes faith, not the thankfulness, but faith as the main point. You see, Jesus wants to heal these lepers of their physical ailments, but he wants to heal them more of their sin and sinfulness. This is what he desires. As a matter of fact, you will find this many, many times when he does physical miracles. Go back again now to chapter 18. What happened in that instance? Starting at verse 41, he says to the man, "What do you want from me?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." This is repeated over and over again. So there are 4 main points that we learn from just reading through this text. We identify who Jesus is: God, the Messiah, the Savior. We know that he is inclined to show his mercy, and he's inclined to show his mercy to all people, especially the outcast. And finally, he is concerned for the eternal salvation of our souls. So, you trust in Jesus. How do you think your life should go from here? Well, as I was preparing this sermon, I couldn't help but think about one of these songs that has a lot of these 4 elements in it, right? To know who Jesus is, to know what he's inclined to show his mercy, to know he's seeking the outcast, that he wants to save our souls. And it's a song called "Reckless Love" by Corey Asbury. It goes something like this. "Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." Yeah. Thank you, some of you, for joining in. Reckless love. You see, God wants his love to go to every single human being that's out there. And he just throws it out to everyone. This is what he wants. This is why Jesus came down to earth. It's to pay for the sins of the whole world. Where did Corey Asbury get these ideas? These came from the Bible. This is what God has always desired to do, is to come and save us. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Ezekiel 18, this is 18, verse 23. "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he turn from his evil ways and live. Or how about John 3:16? You can all say it with me, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or how about these? This one is from 2 Peter. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And then in 1 John, we read this. For Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus and God are inclined to give this forgiveness, and they also chase us down to give it to us. So, how do the outcasts in our society get chased down? Well, as a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is already out there and active and working in the lives of all the people we run into. You can be confident of this because this is the reckless love that's going after every soul that you run into. And those of us who already trust Jesus to save us, we got to say, thank you, Jesus. And how do we live in thankfulness? We love and serve. We love them and we serve them in all kinds of ways, in different ways. The people that you run into in your life, no one else runs into in the same way. You have an opportunity every time to love them and serve them. And it looks like a different thing in all circumstances. I don't know what it is. Maybe they actually need some physical help. Maybe they need you to listen to them. Maybe they want you to mourn with them. Or to be joyful with them. Maybe you need to forgive them, even when they don't deserve it. I had Greg come to me and say, yeah, when someone hurts you, though, that's not easy to do. Or like that guy, that jerk that keeps cutting you off on the freeway. It's kind of hard to forgive. I don't even know the guy. The power of Jesus is inside of you. Don't trust in your own ability to do this. You can love someone else. You can forgive someone else by God's power that's inside of you. This is how we thank Jesus, by loving and serving those people he puts in our lives. And I want you to remember one last thing, because I want you to not only love and serve them, but I want you to be brave. I want you to be brave enough to mention Jesus' name. I'm not always brave enough, so I know what it's like for you too, but look for an opportunity. Look for a good time that while you are loving people, while you are serving these people that God puts in your lives, look for a time when you can say, do you know who Jesus is? Or, yeah, I did that because Jesus loved me first. This is how we say, thank you, Jesus. This is how we live a life of thankfulness. We love people, we serve them, we forgive them, and we tell them about Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.